we come to this wondrous passage, Isaiah chapter 9, only two verses, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. Notice the child is born, but the son is given. Jesus may have been born, but God the Son was not. He was never having a beginning. He always was. He was merely given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And today, I want to talk about Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor. Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor. I want to talk about four reasons that Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. I'm sure there are many more. You know, I feel like a man scratching in the dirt trying to dig an oil well. There is so much beneath the surface that we don't even begin to comprehend. Well, let me just at least scratch a little in the dirt and talk about four reasons that Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. Number one, he cares for us. You know, there are a lot of counselors that don't care a whit about what happens to you. We are a society that pays people billions of dollars a year to counsel us. And you know what? Most of them, or at least some of them, are nice people but you know what? You're just a client. Just a name on the sheet. If you don't show up for your appointment, they just bill you anyway and go on about their day. You don't understand, doctor. Time's up. I don't want to be political, but we've had a lot of politicians tell us that they know better than we do about what we want or what we need. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday who's been supportive of the current situation for a long time, and this person said, well, you know, I guess things haven't turned out the way I thought they would. Well, duh. What's Homer say? Doop! Watch it much, but do you think the politicians really care about us? There are a lot of counselors that don't give a whip. Oh, they're going through their job. Oh, but Jesus cares. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. Cast all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. A number of years ago, a movie about the life of Jesus came out, and it was dubbed the Laughing Jesus movie, because the whole time through, Jesus is like, you know, there's not one time in the Word of God that it says Jesus ever laughed. There's not one time in the entire Word of God that says he ever smiled. I'm not saying he didn't, but that's not recorded. John 11:35 says what? Shortest verse in the Bible. Why did Jesus weep? Why did Jesus weep? The situation is Lazarus is dead. Mary's there. But wait a minute. Jesus knew he was going to raise him up in 30 minutes. Why didn't he just look at her and go, come on, whenever you're done, I can get on with this. Not Jesus. You see, he cares for us. Often we don't really believe that. We don't really, really believe that because when times get tough like we're in today, we look and we go, you know, God just doesn't care. He does. And we look at the things that God tells us and he says, if God, if you love me, you wouldn't tell me I have to do these things. But you see, he's a wonderful counselor. His way works and ours doesn't. Wonderful counselor. Second of all, not only does he care for us, second of all, he knows what is right and good. You know, we think we know what's right and good. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Do you remember the serpent in the garden? I never understood this. I always look at this verse and said, God, what is this all about? The serpent, Satan, came to the woman and he said, the moment you eat this fruit, Genesis 3, 5, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And I always thought, well, doesn't God want us to know what's good and what's evil? What's with that? Does God want us stupid? No, never. What the devil meant, what the serpent meant, what Satan meant was not, you will know what God knows is good and what God knows is evil. He was saying, you'll be like God, you'll know for yourself what you choose to be good and what you choose to be evil. You'll call whatever you want to good, and you'll call whatever you want to evil. But you know what? It doesn't work. No matter how much we call something good, if it's evil, it's evil. We're trying to redefine everything today. Families, you realize in some segments of our society, the illegitimate births are 70% of the live births. That doesn't count the abortion. 7 out of every 10 children born in some segment of our society don't even know who their father is. Oh, but that's all right because we've got welfare. That'll take care of the problem. Uncle Government can be daddy. Oh, how's that working out? How's that working? See, Jesus knows what's right and what's wrong. We don't. Our hearts so often get confused about right and wrong. If it feels so right, how can it be wrong? Oh, pretty easy. The heart. Oh, don't you love this? Some stupid moron is going to make the worst decision they've ever made in their lives in some movie, and they're talking with their best friend, and they're going, but the heart wants. What the heart wants. And they put one of those stupid awe tracks. I remember years ago on the old Bill Cosby show, Theo, his son, was doing poorly in school and was not doing well, and he came home with a really bad report card, and his dad sat him down, and he's reading him the Riot Act. And when he was all done, Theo looked at him and goes, Dad, can't you just love me the way I am? And the whole studio audience went, "Ah!" And Bill Cosby said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And they were shocked. He knows what's right and wrong. That's why he's a good counselor. Number three, he cares for us. He knows what's right and wrong. Number three, he joins us in doing what he counsels. Again, not to become political, but you know, we need to see the contrast here. For the last 3 years, politicians have been telling us, you and I don't know what we need for health care. We need to have their health care their way. Do you know how many of them have signed up? That's not true. Trent Lott did. Trent Lott went out on Friday and said, I have signed up for Obamacare. He entered all his personal information on the website, which will probably be stolen and hacked, and he'll probably have his identity stolen. He said, I am paying now double the premiums that I was paying previously, and I'm paying over 3 times the deductible. But this was forced upon you, and I shouldn't be exempt either. There's one man of conscience. One man of conscience. The leader of the other party exempted his entire staff and said none of them have to go on it, not only him. And they get subsidized to boot. Not Jesus. Hebrews 2:14, here's what it says. Jesus isn't like politicians today. Jesus is not like the politicians today. It says, since they have blood and flesh, since they were of flesh and blood, since you and I have to live in this world, he took on our humanity. He didn't come as a God among men. I love those pictures from the Middle Ages with Jesus walking about 3 inches above the ground with this little halo around his... Why would anyone crucify a guy with this glowy thing around his head? That wasn't Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. Read these words. There's a lot of people who want you to elevate them to the top. I'm going to start at verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Ah, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name. You know, there's a lot of people that will tell you how to do it. Oh, but it takes somebody special to say, I'll do it right beside you, especially when they didn't have to. How many people that have it give it all up so that some can have it all? Jesus, because he's a wonderful counselor. Number four. He's a wonderful counselor because he knows the end of the road. He knows the end of the road. There's a lot of people that will give you great advice, but they don't know how it'll work out. Well, you just try this. I remember going to an Amway meeting years ago. Boy, they told me how great it would be for me. They told me what the end of the road would be. I'd be a billionaire and they'd be a billionaire. No, I didn't go in, so I'm not a millionaire, but hey, neither were they. They were out a couple years later, a little older, a little wiser. You know what? There's a lot of people that will tell you what the end's going to be. But Jesus, he's been to the very end. Remember John 14, 1 and 2? John 14, 1 and 2. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it wasn't true, I'd have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. Well, you know, hey, that's great, but he's dead and we don't know whether he made it home. No, he came back. He walked out of that tomb and he said, there, see, I've been and I've come back. I know what the end of the journey is. You can follow a lot of gurus, a lot of shurus. You can read the self-help books. You can listen to the guys on TV that'll send you a tape for only $9.95. Plus $92 shipping. But they haven't been to the end. Oh, he's wonderful counselor. And you know, he doesn't leave us alone. Have you ever read those little words in Luke 16? You know, it's the middle of that terrifying story about the rich man and Lazarus. One went to hell, the other went to heaven. But have you ever read in the middle of it, Luke 16, verses 22 and 23? Luke 16, 22 and 23. In Luke 16, 22 and 23, here's what it says. It says, now the beggar died and was carried by the angel. You know, when God's people die, can you imagine that beggar on the street, people? If you've never been to Israel, you don't understand what it is to be a beggar on the street. Because they literally laid in the streets. Well, the streets in Israel are maybe this wide from me to that wall. That's a major thoroughfare. And there's traffic going in both directions. And there are people with carts outside selling stuff on both sides. Now, in modern days, there's not horses and mules and donkeys and camels walking, but they have tractors. And they have these special tractors in Israel that they have for going through the ancient cities. They're like a tractor bicycle. They have four wheels, but they're real narrow, and you ride them like a bicycle with your legs on each side, but they're a little tractor. And they pull little carts that are really narrow but tall. It's the only way to get through the street. There's that beggar sitting there, people kicking him, stepping on him, fumbling over him, tripping on him. One second he's there in the middle of that misery, and the next second he sees these glowing forms taking his hand. Can you imagine that? Oh, notice what it says about the rich man. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his... No escort for him. He died alone. He awoke alone. Oh, Jesus is wonderful. Knows the end of the journey. He's been down it. He doesn't just know it by theory. He's been down it. Let me ask you. The thing with any counselor in the end, isn't just how good is their counsel, it's whether we follow it or not. Notice what it says about Jesus. He is wonderful counselor. I always wondered at that. Why counselor? because here's the truth, Jesus will let us walk away from everything he says. He doesn't hurt us and drive us and force us and push us and manipulate us and twist us and turn us. He gives us his counsel. And he lets you and I choose. Yeah! You know how many people give him a standing ovation? And then go out and do the opposite? He's such a wonderful counselor. And is he the one you're following in all that you do? Is your life laid at the altar of this wonderful counselor to obey him? Let's bow together. Oh God, he is wonderful counselor. Well did Isaiah prophesy, Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful the feet of those who publish glad tidings of good news. Well did the angels say, we have glad tidings of good news. Well did Jesus say, in that first sermon he preached in his own hometown, a quotation from Isaiah 61. The Lord has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal, to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the slaves, to release from darkness for prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Oh God, despite what we see with our eyes around us, we are still in the year of your favor. The day of vengeance that he talked about has not quite yet arrived. Oh Lord, in this day of good news, will we hear you and obey you and make you our wonderful counselor? Or will we, like the rich man, live and die alone and in hell lift up our eyes? Oh God, thank you for a wonderful counselor. In Jesus' name, amen.